reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While Jesus was speaking, an official came forward, knelt down before him, and said, "My daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her and she will live." Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. A woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the tassel on his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured." Jesus turned around and saw her and said, "Courage, daughter. Your faith has saved you." From that hour, the woman was cured. When Jesus arrived at the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd who were making a commotion, he said, "Go away, the girl is not dead. She's sleeping." And they ridiculed him. When the crowd was put out, he came and took her by the hand, and the little girl arose. And news of this spread throughout all that land. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
On this Independence Day, the readings that we've received somewhat randomly in the church's liturgical calendar, but always providentially in God's mind, help us to see both what we are to do individually and how we are supposed to behave as a nation with respect to the Lord if we want our nation to be great. The first reading today, we see that famous scene of the stairway to heaven, that Jacob's ladder, in which angels, the messengers of God, were coming up and down. Soon as Jacob had fallen asleep there on that sacred stone, that God could even penetrate a stone, he had that dream where he saw that double passageway where God comes down to us and we're meant to go up to God. And then immediately after that dream, he consecrated that place to the Lord. He built an altar. He made sure that it would always be dedicated to the Lord. Likewise, in the United States, we're called to consecrate our nation to the Lord. There is supposed to be, likewise, a ladder here. God continues to call down and send down his angels, his messengers, the intercession of his saints, his blessed mother. The Son of God comes down in the altar every day, precisely in order to help us go up to heaven. But we need to keep that mentality, keep that vision, and make sure that we're consecrating ourselves and our nation over to the Lord's love routinely. The U.S. bishops have done this through the Immaculate Conception, but we need to do it as citizens as well. And we have. Today's responsorial psalm, "In you, my God, I place my trust," evokes, of course, the official motto of the United States of America. The official motto. There's only one. 1956, "In God we trust," the official motto of the United States. After the terrible stuff of the Great Depression, after the incredible destruction of World War II, Congress comes together and makes this the motto. From 1863, it had been on the coins again during a time of great civil discord in the middle of the Civil War. We consecrated ourselves over to God on our coins. In other words, we weren't going to place our trust in money. We were going to place our trust in God. 1956, so almost a century later, we said that we trust in God as our national motto. The next year, it was basically put into the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. And was put on our dollar bills as well, our currency. Every time we make a transaction, we're called to remember that we place our trust not in these greenbacks, not in these quarters, not in these silver dollars, but in God. This is something that obviously is disputed today. You've got this whole movement of Americans for the Separation of Church and State that have a stamp for our currency. And over those words, "In God We Trust," they put a stamp saying there is a separation of church and state, and we shouldn't be consecrating ourselves to the Lord. But when we forget God, we forget who we are. You know, in that first reading from the book of Genesis, God spoke to Isaac and said, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of your forefathers." Sorry, spoke to Abraham, "the God of your forefather Abraham, the God of Isaac. The land on which you are lying, I will give to you and your descendants." That there's a connection. And when we look back at history, we shouldn't just look back with myopia and say, "What a patriot George Washington was. What a good citizen John Adams was." And start to go through all of them. No, they believed in God. They weren't all Catholics like we were. But they recognized, as John Adams said very clearly, that the only way that our republic will survive if it is populated by a religious and moral citizenry. There are certain things that government could never do, needed to come from the morality of the citizens, so that we wouldn't break laws because we could, but that there would be an internal policeman, a conscience, that would be guiding us to do the right thing, even though we didn't have a police state and could get away sometimes with doing the wrong thing. In God we trust. For our republic to remain strong, we need to reiterate that, not just with a motto, but with a way of life. In God we trust. Today in the gospel, we see what can happen when we trust in God. This synagogue official came to Jesus, Jairus, and asked him to come and heal his daughter who had died. Jesus said, I will come. At the end of the scene, we see many ridiculing. "She's not dead, she's sleeping." Ridiculing Jesus. But we know what happened. He came, took her by the hand, and the little girl arose anew. There are many who will ridicule Jesus, ridicule our trust in Jesus. But this is what the Lord can do. We need to trust in him to recognize that he can raise people from the dead and he can revivify the faith of our nation. We also see the trust in this woman with the hemorrhage who is bleeding internally, saying, "All I have to do is touch the hem of his garment and I will be cured." And out she reached. And Jesus, as we see in St. Mark's gospel, turned around and said, "Who touched me?" He knew that power had gone out from him. And he wanted to see who it was. Because that trust he wanted to acknowledge. That faith he wanted to build. When he saw who that woman was, he said, "Courage, daughter, don't be afraid. Your faith not just has cured you, your faith has stopped the flow of blood. Your faith has saved you." The same Lord Jesus who was present for the synagogue official and was passing by when that woman stretched out her arm is present in the tabernacles of our nation and is meant to walk through the streets of the villages in us when we receive him as living ambulatory monstrances. Today, as we come forward, we will not just touch the hem of his garment. We will receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity, the entirety of who he is, on our tongues and in our hearts and in our bodies, and soon with the process of human digestion and every cell throughout our body. Imagine what he can do, not just for us, but for the mystical body in the United States. And as a result of the mystical body, touching everyone in our country, let us renew our trust in the Lord. Let us consecrate ourselves to him so that this nation might be that holy ladder that brings our fellow citizens up to the celestial Jerusalem to which we are all citizens.